You're listening to Kennet Radio. We're now proud to present an hour-long radio play. It's been written by a local author and is acted by a theatre company based in Greenham. This programme contains some strong language in the context of the drama.
Greenham Tower Theatre Company present A Sign of the Times by Andy Kemp.
Just whistle while you work, and cheerfully together we can tidy up the place. So I'm a merry tune. It won't take long when there's a song to help you set the pace.
Can't trust him. That's what I say.
No, you've got to take people by their word. You've got to.
I don't know. Wait and see's what I reckon. Time will show up the truth, right enough.
You're taking it all too serious. If folk didn't give the likes of Mr. Hitler any attention in the first place, well, there wouldn't be no crisis.
You mark my word.
If Mr. Chamberlain says it's peace in our time, I can't see as you can argue with that.
Mr. Chamberlain don't know everything. And if he did, he wouldn't tell us.
So what is it you're saying?
All I'm saying is there's always things going on the likes of you and I never get to hear about. We don't know the truth because the newspapers never tell us.
How happen they don't know?
Oh, you just got a vivid imagination, boy. Or suspicious mind. Been reading too many stories.
Well, so long as it don't come to no fighting.
Don't go counting your chickens on that score.
What's that aeroplane doing? He's been circling round for the last 10 minutes. Looks like he don't know what he's up to.
I'll tell you what he's up to. He's in trouble, look.
By Christ, you're right and all. He is.
Good Lord above, and he is in trouble.
He's coming down.
The Common. That's where he'll be. Come on.
Here are the headlines again for today, Friday, June 4th. RAF Vulcan bombers have bombed an Argentine radar station in the Falkland Islands. Work has started to increase security at RAF Greenham Common in preparation for the arrival of American cruise missiles. And 12-year-old Molly Davini from Denver, Colorado has won the 55th International Spelling Bee by correctly spelling psoriasis. That's the BBC News at 3 minutes past 10.
Today, when asked about the shotgun, he said, "Damn it, anyone got any snowpake?"
"Here you are."
"Tar." He said, "I didn't realise that the local council was shit. Can I borrow it again, please?"
"Why don't you just go and get your own?"
"I don't know where from."
"Come on, I'll show you."
"Thanks, miss."
"Eileen, you're not at school now."
"No, right, thank you."
"Look, this is where all the stationery is kept. Pencils, rubbers, snowpake."
"Thank you. No one's really told me the system yet."
"You'll pick it up soon enough."
"Yes, sure. It's just so different from school, where you're even given exactly what you needed or just didn't bother."
"Welcome to the big wide world. Look, all you have to do is help yourself. But write it down on here, just what you've taken, and don't go supplying your little sister and all her mates. Anything else you need, just ask me."
"You, Pound."
"Penny."
"What?"
"Penny. Charlie Penny."
"Yeah, that's right."
"If you look after the pennies, the pounds can look after themselves."
"What?"
"If you look after the pennies..."
"Never mind about that. I've got a job for you."
"Great."
"Yeah, don't go banking on Reporter of the Year just yet, son. I want you to get some info about some vandalism."
"Right, I'm on it."
"Don't you think you'd better let me tell you where to go?"
"Oh, yeah, right."
"St Mary's, Greenham. Nasty. Desecration of a gravestone. Might be an editorial on the state of youth today here. About time we had one of them. So get up there and get me a starting point. Lack of respect, no morals, mindlessness, etc. Write it up like that and I'll have a look. If it's any good, I might use it as the basis for next week's leader. Not much else going on."
"It's as good as done, Mr. Williams."
"You live up that way, don't you?"
"Well, yeah, near there."
"Good. You can do it tomorrow then."
"Tomorrow's Saturday."
"Correct. That gives you all day to get the stuff together, then you've got all day Sunday to write it up, ready for me to see Monday morning."
"Oh, right."
"Don't make a meal of it. Just get the facts. Leave the spin to me. You're a junior reporter, not a smart-ass private detective.
Yes, sir. So this is it. My first big number. Don't make a meal of it, the boss said. Well, Chess Penny wasn't just going to nibble at anything. If there was a story here, he was going to chew it right out. I decided not to wait till the next day. If you don't want cold gravy, then you better be home in time for dinner. The Buster Pigeon's farm that afternoon was full of the regular types. Old ladies with plastic bags full of groceries. A couple of punks sat at the back being loudmouthed and smoking cheap cigarettes between thumb and forefinger. Just the type of kid Gary Williams was aiming his editorial at. A Jack Russell with a brown patch slung crazily over the left side of his head was the only one to pay any attention as I sucked the end of my regulation HB pencil. But even his dumb, sad stare showed an incomprehension of the fact that the world was on the brink of a major scoop.
See anything interesting?
Looks like someone around here fancies themselves as an artist.
And what do you fancy yourself as?
This is our bus shelter. You want to do some artwork? Go and find your own.
Yours?
Yeah. So, what do you want? Looks like you want something.
Like a good slapping.
Leave it, Mand. I know you, don't I?
We went to the same school. My sister was in your year.
What was her name?
Jane. Jane Penny.
Used to go around with Tracy Stambridge and Shelley Crowther.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Suze.
Spotty, snotty and swatty.
Nice one, man. Yeah, I remember them. You live up the Andover Road, don't you? What do you want around here?
I'm working for the Weekly News.
Oh, a reporter in our midst.
Perhaps he's Clark Kent. Do-do-do-do-do.
Shut up, you two. Come on, then. What do you want around here? Has the treasurer of the WI done a runner with the jumble sale money or something?
I meant to be doing a piece on vandalism.
We could vandalise your face.
Shut your mouth, Mand. Pillock. What vandalism?
I think he means our bus shelter.
Actually, I'm talking about the churchyard.
Well, actually, we don't know nothing about the churchyard.
So the police haven't seen you yet?
What are you rabbiting on about? Why would the police want to see us?
Last night, there was some vandalism in the churchyard, apparently. I haven't seen what it is yet, but I'm going on your activities here. I would have thought you'd be likely to hear from the police before too long.
That's nice, isn't it? He gets a poxy job with the Weekly Bore and he thinks he can come round here accusing us of vandalism.
I'm not accusing you. But if you do know anything about who did it...
We don't know anything about it. If you want to know anything about the church, go and ask old Cootie. It's his churchyard.
So you don't know anything?
Nothing!
Jog off, Scoops. We've got this crappy bus shelter to decorate.
Don't think I can get it much better than that, Vicar. We need some special stuff, I think.
Well, you've done the best you can, Mrs. Stock. I appreciate it.
It's terrible. Who would do such a thing? I've never known anything like this around here.
A sign of the times, I'm afraid.
That sign we saw too much of not so long ago. Why on earth would anyone? I just don't know.
I'll ask about some special cleaning stuff. Perhaps the weather will do its job and wear it away eventually.
Time doesn't heal everything, though, does it? It might wipe the stone clean, but it won't wash away the incident and the bitterness that led to it.
A mindless piece of vandalism, Mrs. Stock. That's all.
But why this particular stone and that particular symbol, then?
Reverend Coote?
Pardon?
I was wondering if you were Reverend Coote.
And who told you that was my name?
Some girls in the Nightingales.
Oh. Bird. The name's Bird. However, some of the local characters have chosen a more specific type of bird and have gone for coot, as in baldazzer.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know.
Not at all. Now, what can I do for you?
I'm from the Weekly News. I was told that there had been some vandalism here.
As you can see.
A swastika, I see. Have you been trying to clean it off?
Have I been? I've spent all morning trying with bleach and soda and Terps and I don't know what else. It's that car spray paint. Nothing seems to work on it.
Wouldn't the police want it left as it is so that they can test it in that?
They just wanted a quick look.
When was it discovered?
Yesterday morning. I always come down this path. The rectory is just over the way, you see, and, well, you couldn't help but notice it.
No, I see what you mean. It must have been done during the night, then.
And very late, I think. I was pottering around in the conservatory until gone 11, and I'm sure I'd have noticed any torchlight or whatever over here.
Do you think it was local vandals?
That seems to be the obvious answer, but lads out causing trouble tend to make more noise, don't they?
Hmm. This gate is the obvious way in and out of the churchyard, yet I'm certain that it was latched as usual when I came through it, which means that it must have been shut quite carefully. It's very stiff, you see.
They could have come through the hedge.
No sign of that, and they would have been scratched to pieces if they'd tried.
It looks to me as if it was all done very carefully and deliberately. Look at the way they've sprayed it. It's really very precise. Not like those ones you see sprayed all over the place. Half of them are the wrong way round and ham-fistedly done.
Hmm. So whose grave is this?
Well, that's the interesting thing. You see the name, Commander E.S. Robson. Died November 7th, 1938. And you see this carving of an aeroplane flying over the world, and the words?
Peace in our time.
Recognise them? Neville Chamberlain. In 1938, Chamberlain was Prime Minister. He was involved in talks with Hitler. Chamberlain came back after a meeting in Munich and announced that he believed it was peace in our time. Commander Robson was the pilot who flew him to and from those talks. His plane crashed on the common just a few months after.
It was a big funeral, apparently. A real hero's one. I wasn't here then. I came with the evacuees a couple of years later. But I heard about it. Hitler himself sent a wreath.
Hitler?
He didn't come personally, of course. He sent two officers over. Even before the war, we didn't trust the Germans much. But apparently these two officers were very nice. They left the widow comfortably off and were interested to have a good look around where the crash had happened.
I never even knew that there had been a plane crash around here.
It was a long time ago.
And he died in the crash, eh?
Him and another chap, a foreigner, Danish or Norwegian or something, I think.
Where's he buried?
His body was flown home. I was told the Germans arranged that.
I can't see how any of that could be linked to this.
And if there is any link, why has it taken over 40 years to come out like this?
Now, I don't know if it would be at all helpful, but I can put you in touch with the commander's sister-in-law. She's still alive and lives locally.
Really? That might be very helpful.
Well, when I discovered it yesterday, I thought I ought to contact his wife, but I discovered that she died a long time ago. However, the police knew his sister-in-law. She's a local councillor, Maureen Hunter. Perhaps she will be able to tell you more, if you're really interested.
Certainly worth a call. Thank you. So maybe that was it. Robson could have been mixed up with the squareheads. But why, after all these years, would someone come and point a crooked finger by painting a crooked cross? I got the feeling I jumped on a merry-go-round and wasn't going to be let off until I got the horse's mouth to spill the beans.
You wouldn't mind shutting the gate after you, would you?
Oh, right, yes. Sorry. Bye.
Goodbye. And do let us know how you get on.
I will.
That's him there. And that's my sister.
This is their wedding, is it?
Yeah, that's right. June 17th, 1936.
Is this you, the bridesmaid, Mrs. Hunter?
I'm afraid it is. Fashions change, don't they? I was just 17 then.
I love old photographs. I've got some like this of my granny. Oh, sorry, no offence.
You've not been in the job long, have you?
No, sorry. This is my first proper job as a reporter.
So you've been sent to find out all about Eric?
No, not really. The boss just wants a report on the vandalism, but when I found out whose gravestone it was, I thought that there...
Might be another story hidden away here, eh? A scoop, that's what they call it, isn't it?
Something like that, yes.
Then I'd better help you if I can, hadn't I? What do you want to know?
Anything you can tell me, I suppose.
Not a lot to tell. My sister was rather taken in by Commander Robson, Eric. He was a smooth talker and had that typical public school charm. He was a bit too quick off the mark asking her to marry him to my way of thinking, and she was a bit too quick to say yes. It was never going to last.
Why do you say that?
They were made for each other. Or rather, they deserved each other. Before the reception was over, he was inviting me to spend the weekend with him in Germany, without her. As I say, I was just 17. He was nearly twice my age.
I see.
I may not have taken up his offer, but it was common knowledge that a number of other girls did.
Why Germany? I thought people went to places like Brighton for mucky weekends.
All part of his fatal attraction. He was a pilot. Well, you know that already. He flew a mail plane to Berlin twice a week. I suppose it was on account of these flights that he was chosen for that famous Chamberlain flight.
I suppose in those days being a pilot was quite something, wasn't it? Still is, I suppose.
Oh, yes. It was all jolly tally-ho, wizard and bang on with Eric and his pals. Very glamorous and heroic. Flying off as a personal guest of the pilot must have seemed very romantic to some girls, I suppose.
Never short of female company, though.
Nope, he wasn't. But as I say, my sister was an appropriate partner for him. I mean, while the cat's away.
Oh, I see. Your sister's dead now, isn't she?
She's been dead a long time. Died just after the war. She'd moved down to Portsmouth. One night she got mixed up with some foreign sailors who knocked the living daylights out of her. It was all very nasty indeed.
I'm sorry.
I know it may sound uncharitable, but at the time, everyone had the opinion that if you got yourself mixed up with the kind of men she got mixed up with, and for the reasons she got herself mixed up with them, then sooner or later something nasty was likely to happen. Oh no, there was nothing sacred about my sister. She'd always been one to do a bit of gallivanting, and it was always me that was left to pick up the pieces.
Did she have any children?
A daughter, Christine. She lives in Canada now. It was my mother and I that brought her up. You see, after Eric died, Maggie went well off the rails. She came into some money. Some of it was given to her by the Germans. She soon spent that, and when it ran out, which didn't take long, her friend soon disappeared also.
What do you remember of Commander Robson's crash?
Again, not much to tell. They were living in Maidenhead. He was based at Heston, you see. That's before it became Heathrow, obviously. I'd been staying with them for a few days to help Maggie. She was pregnant with Christine. I remember that morning they had a blazing row.
Do you know what it was about?
They were always rowing. All I heard was the front door slamming and Eric screaming off in his car. Big flashy sports car he had. Everything was flash with him. When I went downstairs, you could still feel the atmosphere. Maggie wasn't upset, though. She had a thick skin, that one. Anyway, later that day, the police came round and told her what had happened.
How did she react?
Are you going to print all this?
I'm only meant to be doing a story about vandalism.
I wouldn't want Christine to hear too much about this.
I understand.
Thing is, you see, it seemed to me that Maggie was more upset about the co-pilot than about Eric.
Why would she be...
Isn't that obvious?
Right, I see.
Take another look at that wedding photo. The photo next to it is Christine. She was in her 20s when that was taken.
She doesn't look much like either of them.
No, she doesn't. She's got that lovely head of blonde hair, for one thing. Both Eric and Maggie were dark.
Well, genetically...
Genetics, my foot. Think again.
The co-pilot was Danish, wasn't he?
Something like that. Are you getting the picture?
Is that what the row was about, you think?
Who can tell? They were always at each other's throats.
This has all been very interesting. Rather more than I bargained for, to be honest, but thank you.
That's all right. It's funny, but I've never told anybody about any of this before. I suppose it does a bit of good to get things like this off your chest eventually. Air old grievances and that.
Perhaps that's what someone else was doing when they sprayed the gravestone.
Perhaps. But don't go digging around in the past too much. I've told you all this because I wanted to, but if you go pushing the issue with others, then people might get hurt. Please treat what I've told you with respect. There's a lot of things people have in their pasts that they'd prefer were kept there.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks again. Oh, one more thing. The lady I met in the cemetery described his funeral as a real hero's one. Excuse me for saying, but he doesn't sound like he was much of a hero from what you've said.
Like I said, everything was flash with Maggie and him. No doubt to the outside world he did come across as the buccaneering hero type. You know, pioneer of the airways, the mail must get through and all that. The connection with Chamberlain was quite impressive, I suppose. If you were the impressionable type, that was.
And the delegation from Germany?
Oh, yes, there was all that. I don't know why they made it out to be so special. It's like a lot of these star types, isn't it? Their lives all look so wonderful to the outside world, but scratch the surface and what's beneath it is sometimes rather seedier. Well, I think I've told you enough. Let's be having you on your way before I say something I regret.
You're a Yuga Beaver. Monday morning and not even 8:30.
Eileen, you know you said that if I needed something, all I had to do was ask.
Yes.
Well, I was wondering how to access old papers. They must be in a library or something, mustn't they?
How old is old?
1938.
I thought you were meant to be doing something about vandalism and the kids of today.
I am. Sort of. I've just got a bit sidetracked.
Have you got an exact date for a particular copy?
There was an aeroplane crash on November 7th, 1938. Front page, I should think, so it shouldn't be too hard to find.
If we've got it, it will be on microfilm. We can blow it up from that. I'm not at all sure I should be doing this for you, mind.
I could be onto a great story here. It could be the making of me.
If Mr. Williams finds you haven't finished that vandalism story, it'll be the ending of you. Who's that? Danny. Hello, love. It's Eileen. Can you hunt out an old front page for me, please? November 7th, 1938.
The crash was on the 7th, so it would be the edition following that.
Did you hear that? OK. OK. Good. Well, as soon as you can, please. Thank you. Yes, I will. Well, I shall have to think about that. Yes, I'll bear it in mind. Yes. Thank you. Yes, I love you too. In my own special sort of way. Creep.
Can he get it?
He'll have a look. Shouldn't take long. Now, if I were you, I'd get that copy finished pronto, or you'll be heading for a crash.
I'm on it. The kid Danny was as good as his word. The bumbling old library system had dumped and ground itself into action, and before the morning was out, the tube containing the photocopied front page bounced onto my desk as the internal mail boy went whistling down the aisle towards sub-ed. What I read off the smudged Xerox copy gave me a new lead. I learned that Robson flew for an air freight company based not so far away. No one had ever heard of them, but a call to the CAA gave me the name of its one-time managing director, Sir Sidney Sutton. A little more digging and I had an address. It was very local indeed. I was on a roll. Call it a hunch, or call it guesswork. I prefer genius. But a check in the phone book proved that there was still a Sutton living at the address. I jammed my cheese and Branston sandwiches into the top drawer and decided to take lunch out.
Yes?
Excuse me, is there a Mr. Sutton living here, please?
No, I'm sorry, he must have the wrong address.
Hazeldene Manor?
Yes, but there's no Mr. Sutton here. There hasn't been a Mr. Sutton here since my father died.
Ah, and would he have been Sir Sidney Sutton?
Yes, he was. What do you want?
I'm from the Weekly News. I'm investigating an air crash. I believe the aircraft that crashed was one of your father's planes.
My father's aircraft business closed down in 1939. What air crash are you investigating?
The one near here, Greenham Common, 1938.
Robson.
You remember it?
What do you want?
I just wondered if you could tell me anything that you remembered about it.
Why should I do that?
Well, something a bit unusual has happened and I'm trying to find out why.
What is this unusual thing that has happened?
Commander Robson's grave has been vandalised. I'm trying to find out who did it and why.
There's nothing unusual about vandalism. It's the sign of the times. Young men of your age seem to think that it's the normal thing to do, don't they?
I think there may be more to it than that.
What is this vandalism?
Someone has sprayed a swastika on the gravestone. It seems to have been done very neatly and deliberately. I think someone was making some kind of point, getting at something, and trying to find out what. Hello? Are you still there? Hello, Miss Sutton?
Go away.
I wondered if you could just tell me...
Go away.
But if I could just...
Go away, please!
Yeah. Hoping that I'll never have to say.
Hey, Eileen, there's definitely something very strange going on here.
You're in trouble.
I've been to see Sir Sidney Sutton's daughter. He ran the firm that Commander Robson was working for when the crash happened. She seemed pretty odd. As soon as I mentioned the swastika on the gravestone, she just clammed up completely. She definitely knows something.
Charlie, just sit down. Calm down, shut up, and get on with the school's roundup column.
But listen...
Charlie!
Pounds! What time do you call this? You should have been back at your desk by 1 o'clock. It's gone 2 now. Look, lad, contrary to popular belief, newspaper reporters and editors do not take 2-hour lunch breaks down the pub. At least not in this paper, they don't. Now, not only do I want that school page finished this afternoon, I want a rewrite of your piece on the gravestone vandalism. It's rubbish!
Vandalism maybe, but there may be more to this than meets the eye. What truth lies hidden in that stain of the crooked cross? What dark mysteries went to earth with Commander Robson that November day, all those years ago?
Christ, boy, who do you think you are, Philip Marlowe? One of the Hardy Boys? This is a local newspaper, not the Agatha Christie Appreciation Society. If you had checked with the police force, you would have found that they got the culprits who did it on Friday afternoon. Picked them up with spray cans in hand, redecorating the back wall of Tesco's. Girls and all, what's the world coming to?
But it wasn't them.
Don't argue with me, son, and don't go setting yourself up against the law. In a simple job like this, the police should have been your first stop. They'll tell you all you need to know. All you have to do is write it up what they tell you. Now stop wasting my time and buck your ideas up.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
But it's ridiculous. I know that there's more to this. Lippy Hubbard told me she didn't do it. Why would she choose that particular gravestone and only that one?
So you'd believe some little tearaways rather than the police, eh, Charlie? You've been here less than 2 weeks. You're being a bit premature, setting yourself up as a crusader for freedom and justice, aren't you?
I know they didn't do it.
No, you don't know. You can't believe kids like that. Now just get on with your work.
OK. But can you just help me with one more thing, please?
Work.
It's a really quick one.
No.
Please?
You'll get me into trouble.
Later. Right now I just need to ask you a question.
You, my lad, are a cheeky little bugger. What's this burning question?
When important people die, they do a special article on them, don't they?
An obit, yes. An obituary.
Right, yes. OK. Well, I bet there'd be an obit on this Sutton bloke. He was a Sir Sidney Sutton.
And you want to see it?
That'd be really good.
Oh, all right then. But I'm not getting it now. You do your work first, and then I'll see if I've got time enough to go down to the library tomorrow morning with you and introduce you to Danny.
Brilliant. And Eileen, how about...
Work!
You again.
Look, I know about the police.
I should think you do, seeing as it was you that told them where we were.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I never spoke to them, honest.
Just a coincidence that 10 minutes after you went off, they turned up and nicked us for the very thing you'd been on about that we didn't know nothing about.
Oh, come on. They were bound to come and question you lot at some point. You don't exactly hide the fact that all you do is graffiti around here, do you? Look at that. Rick is a tosser. Trevor is cool. Besides, I heard you got nicked at Tesco's. I didn't know you'd gone there, did I?
Do you want a slapping or what?
Shut up, Mand.
Sorry, Lippy.
Just saying.
Stay away from us. And seeing as you're such a hotshot reporter, you can find out who did the gravestone so that we can go and get them.
My mum done her a nut when she heard I'd been nicked again.
So get us off the hook, yeah?
And get yourself off as well.
Oh, come on.
Come on, nothing. We mean it. I mean, if we've got to give you a good kicking, we've got nothing to lose, have we?
It had been quite a day. That old spirit of the pioneering paper tycoon putting the world to rights didn't seem operative anymore. I knew I was staring a scoop right in the face, but the boss wouldn't lend me a camera. It was all too easy. All too sewn up. I knew Lippy's mob hadn't done it. It wasn't their style. Besides... they boasted about every other deviation in their pathetically boring lives. Why not this one? No. I had to prove they were clean on the gravestone number, or it'd be my funeral featuring in next week's headlines. I found myself wandering towards the common. So this is where it all happened, huh? I tried to picture the scene. Men running towards the broken, splintered, smoking wreckage. In the faded, grainy photograph I'd seen, it looked like some kind of prehistoric bird decomposing in a charred pit. It was hard to visualize it now. Other machines had taken its place, working ones. Bright yellow diggers and dumper trucks had moved in. Men in day-glow jackets and hard hats were clearing the scrub and erecting concrete fence posts. Back in 1938, when the crash happened, the world was on the brink of war. The talk now in 1982 is that we may be heading that way again.
Oi, you! Yes, you! Clear off!
Who, me?
Yes, you!
I'm not doing anything.
We're working here. There's dangerous machinery around. Look, there's a sign. Keep out, MOD. Ministry of Defence.
I know what it stands for. I'm not going to be nicking a JCB to take my girlfriend out tonight, am I?
Don't you cheek me, son.
Sorry. No, I really am. I'm just interested in something that happened here a long time ago. There was an aeroplane crash here before the war. I wanted to see where it happened. I'm writing something for the local paper about it.
You want to talk to young Harvey?
Oh, yeah. That thing he found the other day.
What was that?
Hold up. I'll give him a shout. Harvey! Wait, come over here.
It was a lump of metal. Terry caught it up in his bucket. We all cleared off thinking it was a bomb or something. Harvey took it away to show his uncle.
Here he comes. When you've had word with him, you can clear off.
Oh, leave off, Sid. He's not doing any harm.
You can't bloody tell with youngsters today.
I'm here. What do you want?
Chap here interested in that thing we dug up the other day. What did your uncle say it was?
It was a camera, he reckoned.
A camera?
We dug up this old camera. Except you couldn't see it was a camera. But my uncle knows loads about that sort of thing. Old things you dig up and that. So I took it to him. Yeah, he reckoned it was a camera off a German plane.
Oh, it was a German plane that crashed, was it?
No, it wasn't. How did your uncle know that it was German?
Oh, he had a lot to do with planes in the war. He used to go and inspect the ones that crashed.
Any chance of having a look at it?
Maybe. You'd have to ask him. He'll be down his garage. Dawson's Autos. Just go in and tell him you've spoken to me. You'll be all right.
Do you know where it is, Dawson's Autos? Is it down Hanbridge Lane?
Yeah, I think so. Just opposite the photo finish.
Yeah, that's the one. It's closed now, mind. The garage, not the pub. You'll have to catch him tomorrow.
Great. Thanks a lot.
It's all right.
Yeah, sorry about Sid. He's a grumpy old bugger. Take no notice.
Listen to this. Sir Sidney was at the centre of a public scandal in 1939 when he was accused of supplying the Nazis with vital information. Although Sir Sidney had at one time been a member of the British Union of Fascists, he denied the allegations and no hard evidence was ever forthcoming. On the outbreak of war, however, what was left of Sir Sidney Sutton's air cargo's business was requisitioned, and Sir Sidney, along with one-time friend and political ally, Sir Oswald Mosley, was interned for the duration.
Very interesting, but I still think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Come on, how can you say that?
If all this cock and bull story of yours had any truth in it, it would be Sir Sidney Sutton's grave that would have been vandalised long ago. What's the date on that obit?
March 1958.
There you are, then. If there was a link between his political leanings and his pilot's crash, it would have come out then. I think your imagination is running a bit wild.
But he'd be in such an ideal position to spy, wouldn't he? Running an air cargo business that involved taking the mail to Berlin a couple times a week. You could take all sorts of things backwards and forwards, including people. I wouldn't mind betting that the delegation for Commander Robson's funeral came over in one of his planes. Maybe the body of the co-pilot was taken home to Denmark in one. Maybe he wasn't Danish at all, but German.
For God's sake!
Don't you see?
See what? I'll tell you what I see. I see something out of the boy's own annual. It said Sir Sidney was a member of the British Union of Fascists. Was implies that he left. It also said he denied all the allegations of skullduggery and that there was no evidence of anything anyway.
And you believe that?
And you believe the tow rags that were caught red-handed with cans of spray paint?
But Sutton wouldn't have admitted he was a spy, would he? He could have been hanged. And if he was recruited by the Nazis, then it would seem good sense to cover his back by leaving the British fascists. What we need to know is just what these allegations were based on. Eileen?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Please.
No! Look, Charlie, it's great that you're so enthusiastic about all this. And maybe, just maybe, there's something in it. But I spent 2 years doing nothing before this job came up. You've seen how Gary can blow up. He's a good bloke, really, and very generous, but he doesn't suffer fools gladly. And he does have a short fuse. So I don't want to get mixed up in your wild goose chase, and I certainly don't want any more to do with that smarmy creep in the library than I have to.
Then where am I going to find anything out?
By doing what journalists do, if you must. Go looking for first-hand evidence. You said you were going to see that bloke in the garage later. Well, go. And perhaps that will give you a lead. Or at least convince you, finally, that you're wasting your time. Let's just have another look at that obit. You see, it doesn't give any hint of when that scandal was. We'd have to search through the copyists for that year and the one before, maybe.
Isn't it cross-referenced? Isn't there some sort of index we could use?
In the National Dailies, maybe, but not here. You'd need a fair old computer to hold all that stuff. One day, maybe. Hold on. Listen to this bit. After the war, his health and estate deteriorated as a result of his battle to clear his name. Toward the end of his life, Sir Sidney became a virtual recluse. He is survived by his daughter, Miss Edith Sutton, who nursed him until his death. How about...
Already tried her. Do you remember I told you?
Try her again.
If your dad had been imprisoned as a traitor, how willing would you be to talk to a 19-year-old novice reporter who you'd never met before?
You seem to be doing all right so far when it comes to persuading people to help you.
I'm not sure about that. Beginner's luck, maybe. Except it won't be so lucky for me if Lippy Hubbard's lot get clobbered for that gravestone.
You're not frightened of them, are you?
Yes.
Come on, Citizen Kane. Time to get on with what we're both meant to be doing.
Who?
Citizen Kane. Oh, don't tell me you've never seen that film. And you want to be a newspaper man.
Blimey, he certainly likes pictures of aeroplanes, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. There's nothing he can't tell you about those old things.
Was he in the RAF in the war or something? Did he fly them?
Mechanic. All through the war. That's how we met in the RAF.
So you're Mrs. Dawson?
No, Shirley. Shirley Coyne. We're not married. Not to each other, anyhow. Married to this place, perhaps, but that's about all. We're partners, me and Wally. That's us there, look, in that one. 1940 there. That's a Heinkel 111 what came down near Slough. Come friendly bombs and all that.
Pardon?
John Betjeman, come friendly bombs and fall on Slough. Never mind.
Lots of these photos are of old planes that have crashed. How come?
Crash investigation. Like I said, that's how we met. Whenever a Jerry was shot down or crashed in our patch, we'd go and take it apart. Find out how it worked, why it crashed, or exactly where it was hit and how that had caused it to come down. I tell you, I know more about the ins and outs of a Heinkel than you know about your pushbike.
You'd have been pretty busy by 1940 then, Battle of Britain and all that.
You could just about say that, yes. And in 1941 and 1942, slackened off a bit after that. Of course, we got some doodlebugs after that. But when they came down, there wasn't usually much left to investigate.
What about these ones here?
Lockheed Transports. They're American from before the war.
Sutton Air Cargoes, it says on the side of this one.
Oh, Wally worked with them before the war. Smallish firm at Heston. Only had a few planes.
One of which came down on Greenham Common in 1938.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, it did. I've been looking into it.
Well, I can't say as Wally's ever mentioned it, and for the last 42 years, all we've ever talked about is wrecks. First aeroplanes, then cars, and now it's mainly each other.
Someone told me they'd brought a bit of an aircraft into Mr. Dawson last week.
Oh, yeah, that would be young Harvey, I expect. He did bring something in. Wally's his uncle. I haven't had a look at it myself yet, but I can show it to you. In fact, there it is, on the bench. Let's have a look. Ah, well, 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 that is interesting. Know what this is?
No idea. Looks like a lump of rusty old metal to me, except that glass bit.
That bit of glass is a 250mm lens. This, young fella, me lad, is a reconnaissance camera off a German bomber.
Harvey told me that.
Yes, it's certainly a German camera. They used to have them slung under the wing. You must have seen some old newsreels of bombs dropping in the line along railway lines or towns and that.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this is a sort of kit they'd use.
Could they be used for spying?
Well, this is quite wide-angled. Better suited to taking stills of landscapes, I'd say. You'd have to fly quite low to get a decent image of anything specific on the ground. Cameras like this were used for more general reconnaissance. Newsreels, mapping exercises, that sort of thing. This one looks like a rather early model to me, but as you say, it's not in the best state.
Do you think the film might still be in there?
No. Look, half the casing's been ripped off the back.
They told me up at the Common they thought it was a bomb.
Yes, well, you can see why, can't you? That sort of cigar shape that it's got. That's how it remained buried for so long, see? If it wasn't attached to the wing properly, it would have shot off on impact and embedded itself into the ground.
Do you know if Mr. Dawson will be back at all this evening?
I shouldn't think so. He nipped off earlier than usual. Said he was going to see someone. Call in again tomorrow. You know, I really can't ever recall doing a crash on the Common, and I'm sure Wally never mentioned one. I shall have to have a think and see whose patch that was at the start of the war.
Interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's interesting, all right. More bloody interesting than these Cortinas and Metros.
It was getting to be a piece of cake. All I needed was the icing. So Sidney was a Nazi spy. His planes carried German cameras, and no doubt the film was whipped off to Berlin for analysis on the next mail flight. It all figured, and as figures go, this one had a hell of a shape. The Krauts needed aerial photos and detailed maps. They couldn't send their own planes over before the war, so they annexed Southern Air cargoes just as cutely as they'd annexed half of Europe. The whole thing made even more of a joke out of Chamberlain's Peace in Our Time speech. At the same time, Nev and the Cabinet boys were celebrating peace. The very plane they were on was preparing for war. Peace in Our Time. That was what was inscribed on Robson's gravestone. Just who chose those mockingly immortal words? Irony, or proof that Robson was involved in this right up to his flying goggles. How easy it would be for him to listen into that ministerial chatter. If anyone could be convinced of just how far Chamberlain had been duped, it would be Commander E.S. Robson. For the millionth time that week, I looked at that old front page. The aeroplane had been circling above Greenham Common for about 3 minutes. An eyewitness working at St. Gabriel's School said he saw it go around 3 times. The wings began to waggle uncontrollably. Suddenly it rolled over and disappeared behind the trees. We heard it crash and saw smoke rising. What was so interesting about Greenham Common in 1938? Even the Nazis couldn't see into the future to when the airfield was built there. Or could they? The film from that camera was long gone, but the camera itself still had a story to tell, and I wanted to be in the front row for the sinister episode of Jack and Ori. Just who put that camera onto that Lockheed transport? I'd need to take another trip down to the auto repair shop and have a little chat with the strangely absent Mr. Dawson.
It was just a routine flight. Pilot error, I expect.
So you don't know where they're off to or why they're over Greenham?
No. Hang on a minute. Wayne, turn that bloody rubbish off! That's better. Bloody noise.
But he was a very experienced pilot, wasn't he?
So they say.
You wouldn't have thought he'd make too many pilot errors.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Wouldn't the flight have been recorded in some logbook?
I expect so, but I was just a mechanic.
The other thing I was wondering is about this camera. I mean, it must have been attached to the plane that crashed, mustn't it?
Must it? Why?
Well, that's the only crash that's ever happened there on the common, isn't it?
You tell me. Pass me that wrench, will you? No, no, that one, the big one. That's it.
Someone must have put that camera onto that aeroplane.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I'm just trying to piece it all together.
Are you saying I put it on?
No, no. I'm just thinking out loud.
What's your interest in all this? Why would a lad your age want to know all about something that happened so long ago?
It's my job.
What is?
This. Finding out the truth.
Ha! What else do you know about this, then?
I know a bit about Sir Sidney Sutton. He was a fascist, wasn't he? If the plane that crashed was spying, then he must have been mixed with it. It was his plane.
Sir Sidney Sutton was one of the best men you could work for.
But he was a...
patriot. He cared about his country. It's easy to call men like him evil. Perhaps the fact is that he was just wrong in the way that he showed it. He made a mistake. Backed the wrong horse. He idolised Mosley. Thousands did. He thought the likes of Hitler were the answer to what was going on in the 30s. He was wrong, and what's more, is that when he saw it, he admitted it, which is more than a lot of others did.
He was found guilty of spying.
No, he wasn't. I know that there were plenty of accusations. It was quite a scandal at the time. But there was never, ever any end of evidence. The scandal near as damn it broke him. Spies were shot. He wasn't. He would have thought that what they did to him was worse. Took his business away. Interned him. Locked him up in his own country without a scrap of evidence other than that he'd admired Mosley. He was a scapegoat. Don't get me wrong. I've got no sympathy with this fascism business. To tell you the truth, I couldn't define the word for you. I don't understand politics. How many people do you know do? Sir Sidney always did all right by me and all those who worked for him. I don't think we did all right by him, though. I don't like seeing people pushed around, and nor did Sir Sidney. When he saw what the black shirts were really like and what was going on in Germany, that's when he pulled out.
After the war, did he and his dogs try to clear his name?
Yes, they did.
But did they manage?
Those who have power don't like admitting they're wrong, do they?
I went to see his daughter the other day, but didn't get much out of her.
Leave her alone.
Yeah, but what I need...
Leave her alone. Do you hear? She's put up with enough. You just leave her alone.
Mr. Dawson, you said you didn't like seeing people get pushed around. If I don't get to the bottom of this story, then I'm going to be pushed out of a job and probably get my face pushed in.
I don't see what I can do about that.
There's three girls that have been accused of defacing Commander Robson's gravestone. I don't think they did it. I think they're being used as scapegoats. Easy to pin the blame on them. It seems to me what you've said that Sir Sidney Sutton was in the same boat. I don't know, but maybe there's a link between what he was accused of and this vandalism business. If there is, then it really ought to be printed so that people can see the truth.
The truth again, eh? It's a funny old thing, truth. I'll have a think. Call in again tomorrow.
Hello, Eileen? It's Charlie. Look, I feel awful. I've got the stumping head, sore throat.
So when will you be back?
I'll try to get in tomorrow.
You'll get shot.
It's not my fault I'm ill.
The pile on your desk isn't getting any smaller, Charlie. Gary will do his nut when he sees it. Oh, and some woman rang asking for you. And the Reverend somebody or other?
Really? Who was the woman? Did she leave a number?
I told her you weren't in and gave them your home number. I don't suppose I should have done that, really.
I better get off this line in case they're trying to call me. Need to take some Lemsip as well. I'll see you tomorrow.
Unless that cold gets any worse, of course.
Yeah, right. Cheers then, Eileen. Hello?
Oh, hello. Reverend Bird here. Is that the young man from the Weekly News?
Yes, that's right. Hello.
Oh, good. Well, I was wondering how you were getting on with your investigations.
Not too bad, thanks. I'm still not absolutely sure what's going on here, but I've discovered some interesting things.
Well, do keep us posted, won't you?
Yes, I will.
We want to see justice done after all, don't we?
Yes, that's right. We do.
Well, good luck then.
Thank you. Bye then. Bloody hell. Hello?
Hello? Is that the reporter from the Weekly News?
Yes, it is. Who's this, please?
It's Mrs. Hunter here. Eric Robson's sister-in-law. We met a few days ago.
Of course. Have you been trying to get hold of me at work?
Yes. A nice lady told me that you hadn't gone into work this morning, so she kindly gave me this number. I hope you're all right with her doing that.
Yes, of course. It's no problem. I got a bit of a cold, you see.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway, it's just that I remembered something about the crash you were interested in.
I'm all ears.
Well, I remembered that there was an incident shortly before the crash. You know Sir Sidney Sutton had a daughter, I suppose?
Yes.
And you remember what I told you about Eric being one for the ladies? Well, this girl was engaged.
I was almost home and dry. I'd been soaking in the mire of this case for too long. It was time to get out the mud out of my eyes and swim for the bank. Bank? Yeah. The word put me in the mind of the raise Gary would be giving me once I'd stopped paddling and hit the shore. It was strange how people remembered the odd little details, but perhaps that was it. Back in 39, when the Sutton case exploded, everyone was so blinded by the flash they only recalled what they thought was important. Now, 40 years later, the little bits of shrapnel are working their way to the surface and a new picture was forming. The whole story was like Robson's corpse. As time wore on, so the flesh was rotting away. The skin was tightening up and the bones were showing through. Sooner or later, all that would be left would be the skeleton in the cupboard. Ow!
Seemed to me that you were daydreaming there. Thought I'd wake you up.
Yeah, we always thought you was a slapper.
Shut up, Mand.
Sorry, Lippy.
What do you want now?
That's no way to talk to us. You're meant to be on our side, remember? Has your paper come out this morning?
Yes.
So we'll be able to read about how we're innocent of this gravestone business, victims of a terrible miscarriage of justice.
Look, I tried.
Tried?
I wrote it up, but the editor wouldn't print it. But I think I'll be able to get something in next week about what's really happened. I've just got to collect a few more details.
I'm not sure trying is good enough. You don't seem to realise that we're right in the shit because of you.
Oh, come on. You don't seem to realise that I only work for the paper. I don't own it.
It's all right for you, isn't it? You've got your job. You're not always in trouble with the police, even for things that you haven't done. You haven't got to pay over half what you get paid for a poxy job like mine every week in fines.
You're the one that gets into trouble. Oh!
So, because we mucked around at school a bit, we have to put up with this for the rest of our lives, do we? Because we like to have a bit of a laugh occasionally. We got put down as trash before we had a chance to get started. Someone's always got to take the blame, and no one really cares if we did it or not, so long as someone gets the blame. Well, in this case, you're going to prove we're innocent.
Don't be childish. I can't change your life. Ow!
Like hell you can't. It's only the newspapers and that who can change anyone's life. You're just not trying hard enough. Perhaps we ought to get someone to tell the story better.
Good luck with that. Have you got someone in mind?
Yes, I have, actually.
What happened to you?
Remember I told you about some girls who had been accused of vandalising a gravestone?
Yes, but just hang on a minute. Wayne, turn that bloody rubbish off! That's better. Bloody noise.
Well, they found me.
Come over here and let's get you cleaned up a bit. What do they expect to get from doing this, eh?
I don't know. Just making a gesture, I suppose.
A gesture?
They're being blamed for something they didn't do.
Giving you a shiner won't change that.
It probably makes them feel better, though. It's just a gesture.
Oh, you've got a lot of patience and sympathy for a lad of your age.
Not really. I'm just not very good at seeing the next slap coming.
There's others who would have gone straight to the police.
And get them into more trouble. No, they're right in a way. I'm the only person they know who can get them off the hook over this. At least they think I am. Maybe I am. If I can do that, then perhaps they'll think more about what they do in the future. I don't suppose anyone has ever tried to stick up for them before.
You're a romantic.
Maybe. But if I can prove that they didn't do it, then other people might start seeing them in a different light, and it would be a gesture to the likes of Gary Williams, who just pampers to the public needs to blame someone. Anyone. It's chicken and egg, isn't it? Gary thinks the public wants to blame the youth of today for everything, so that's what he tells them to do. They read all these lies.
All lies?
Well, half-truths then.
They read them, start chucking the blame around and encourage people like Gary to give them more. I think Lippy Hubbard is right. It's not events that make heroes and villains. It's the press.
Bit sweeping, isn't it?
Look at Commander Robson. The press cast him as a hero.
And Sir Sidney Sutton? They cast him as the villain.
Yeah, maybe.
And you think making a gesture can change people's minds?
Yes, sometimes. I think it might. It can draw attention to the other side of the story. It's like going on a demonstration march, isn't it? Doesn't actually change anything, but it can make people wonder what the demonstration is about.
Someone has to explain that, though.
Yes, the reason has to be explained. And that's what the newspapers and the media ought to do, isn't it? They ought to try and give the whole story as fairly as they can. It's their, what do you call it, their moral responsibility.
Right, come on then.
Where are we going?
I'm going to tell you the whole story, and then you're going to tell everyone else. It's your moral responsibility. Hold the fort, Shirl. Sir Sidney had a daughter.
I know. I went to see her, remember?
What you don't know is that I...
was engaged to her. Robson's sister-in-law told me.
Well, Robson and I had a big fight.
Because you caught him chatting her up. Sorry, I've sort of pieced this all together. What I don't understand, though, is about this camera. That points the finger at you a bit, doesn't it? You worked on the planes, didn't you?
If you think I was a Nazi spy, what are you doing sitting here now?
Because I don't think you are. Were.
You've got a lot of faith in your own beliefs.
I expect some would call it naivety.
Some might call it guts, the stuff heroes are made of.
We'll have to let the press decide that, won't we? Anyway, about the camera.
I didn't know anything about it until last week when young Harvey brought it in. That's when I started putting things together.
What things?
The morning of the crash, I'd been working on George in Robson's aeroplane.
George?
That's what we call the automatic pilot. Anyway, I was working on that and he came in with that Danish fella.
If indeed he was a Dane.
Yeah, I've got to thinking along those lines too. Robson told me to clear out the hangar so we could get ready to take her up. As I say, there was bad blood between us, so I didn't argue. Now, that autopilot would only be used on a long, straightforward trip, such as the mail flight. I knew there wasn't a mail flight that day.
So you didn't tell him that it wasn't working properly?
You've got it.
Do you think he put it on that day and that's why he crashed?
The Danish bloke was meant to be with us on a training attachment. They were frequently flying up and down the Thames Valley area and around for training purposes. There shouldn't have been a need to put the autopilot on.
There were a lot of RAF bases in this area, weren't there? Membry, Ramsbury, Aldermaston and Greenham.
They weren't there at that time, though.
But identifying likely sites would have been useful to the Germans, wouldn't it?
Indeed it would. Never occurred to me then, of course. Anyway, I suppose by rights I should have told him George wasn't well, but quite frankly we weren't even on speaking terms and, well, I reckon that at some point they must have got out of their seats. You see, if the autopilot started playing up, they could have just flicked it back to manual immediately. But if they were out of their seats...
Why would they be out of their seats?
Rumour had it that while Robson was always after a bit of extracurricular action, the Danish chap was from the same mould and was getting too friendly with Robson's wife.
Taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, you could say that. But I can tell you, he certainly wouldn't have liked it. Perhaps a fight broke out, or perhaps in the light of this camera, they were taking more photographs with handheld equipment. Doubtful, though.
So what about this camera? Did you put it on the plane?
No, of course not. I'd never seen it before last week. Robson must have put it on.
Could he have done that?
Easily. There was already a mounting for a camera, though. This German one would have needed some sort of adapter. Might have been a bit of a bodge job, though. And that's probably why it shot off so far on impact.
So that's why he told you to get out of the hangar?
I reckon.
And that's the story you want to tell me?
Not quite. There's a bit more. Before they could intern him, Sir Sidney was put on a sort of trial. Well, I liked him, but I suppose I'm a bit like your readers and needed someone to blame. Hitler was out of control. Everyone knew there was a war on the way, and everyone was saying that people like Mosley and Sutton were traitors. I was asked if I knew about Sir Sidney's affiliations. I said I did. I also said about the foreigners that we'd had over on training courses. I don't know if you know, but for a long time the Germans weren't allowed an air force. They had to get their pilots trained upon gliders or with commercial companies. By 1935 it became obvious that they'd been secretly building up a huge air force. The suggestion that Sutton Air Cargos had been used to train some of their pilots was a big nail in Sir Sidney's coffin. I only said what I knew to be true. But Edith, that's Sir Sidney's daughter.
Your fiancée?
She didn't believe it. She thought I betrayed him.
I see.
I hope you do. We haven't spoken since that day when they took him away.
But this camera proves that it must have been Robson who was the traitor.
Well, here we are.
Hazeldean Manor. This is her house.
That's right. I've helped you with your story. Now you help me with mine.
This is it. Listen to this for a headline. The spy who saved two from the cold. No, too abstract. How about lover's silence broken by spy find? Still not quite right. But the thing is, Eileen, I've got the whole story. Who did the gravestone? Why? Everything. This is more than just local gossip. This is national. Mr. Williams, look. Look, I'm really sorry I've been out for a couple of days, but you'll see it's been really worth it.
Really?
I've got this fantastic story. It's got everything. A plane crash, spies, lovers, skeletons in the cupboard, the lot.
Oh, yes.
And the best of all, justice. Truth and justice. Justice for Sir Sidney Sutton, who was falsely accused of supplying the Nazis with sensitive information. And justice for a girl called Lippy Hubbard, who's been falsely charged with desecrating a gravestone.
And who, according to you, did the gravestones then?
It was a man called Wally Dawson. He runs Dawson's Autos on Hanbridge Lane.
And why would he do that?
It was a gesture. He wanted to make a gesture. He knew that Commander Robson, the pilot, was the real spy, but he couldn't tell the person he really wanted to tell because he didn't know at the time. When he found out the truth, he felt frustrated and angry. That's where the love element comes in. But then, yours truly came along, and now, finally, after all this time, we can publish the truth.
I see. And how old is Mr. Dawson?
About 65 or so, I suppose.
I see.
It's a great story. The Sir Sidney Sutton scandal was a big national story. We can get his name cleared. I've got it all typed up.
So it wasn't a bunch of teenage yobbos, but a 65-year-old garage mechanic.
That's right. Truth is stranger than fiction, or so they say.
Clear your desk. Pick up your cards from the office. I'm not paying you for this week because you've only been here for half of it. And when you were here, you didn't do any work. If you think that's not justice, then I suggest you write it all up and go to the news of the world with it.
But it's all true.
Truth, young man, is a matter of taste. And your truth is not flavour of the month with me.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I did try and warn you.
So that was that. Gary Williams was what they call a realist. Like most realists, the last thing he wanted was reality. So, does the truth change anything? Sure it does. If only people would allow themselves to see it. And where are the heroes today? Who needs them anyway? Still, I'd met my moral responsibility. I'd made my gesture. And where's it got me? The truth hurts, eh? Who does it hurt the most, though? The person who hears it or the person who's telling it? Trying to tell the truth has bloody well hurt me. It's bloody well hurt me.
Get that maniac out of here! Get him out! Bloody kids of today! And will somebody answer that bloody phone?
Weekly news? Yes. Yes, that's right. He's not here at the moment. But our editor is. Certainly. I'll just get him for you. Gary! It's the BBC! They want to ask about our investigation into the air crash on the Common and how some local girls have been accused of vandalising the grave of the pilot who was killed. In A Sign of the Times, Charlie was played by Jack Harmon. Eileen by Emma Garrett. Gareth Croft played Gary Williams. Rachel Nisel, Lippy Hubbard. Larry Forrest was the Reverend Bird. Sarah Russell, Miss Sutton. Maureen, Alison Dewar. Rick Holroyd played Wally Dawson. And Sarah Burney, Shirley. Other parts were played by members of the company. The play was written and directed by Andy Kemp and edited by Mike Russell.
Thank you very much indeed to Greenham Tower Theatre Company and Andy Kemp for that excellent radio drama. In future on Kennet Radio, we hope to feature other radio plays, including from Greenham Tower Theatre Company. If you belong to a local drama group and would like your work to be aired on Kennet Radio, please contact us via our website, kennetradio.com.